curated to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Our goal is to equip listeners with the resources to always move forward.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Carla Solns and I'm here once again with Ron Kitchens in the studio. How are you doing this morning, Ron?
I am uniquely you today.
All right. Well, it's not just amazing. It is uniquely you. I love it. Well, today we're actually going to be talking a little bit about a topic that, especially, you know, after you've done a major thing in your career, like Ron, you have written a book, or maybe for other people, it's like launched a business or you've launched a new product. There are times in your leadership where you have to really reinvent yourself or your leadership or your organization. But that reinvention is what we're going to be talking a little bit about today. And just the importance of continuing to reinvent yourself, but also how it feels when you're in that stage where you recognize the need for reinvention. So, Ron, I know that this is something that you talk often to our team about, and you really have guardrails up against to help us avoid becoming stagnant or falling into the status quo. And that is ever changing. So I want to give you an opportunity to just say how this topic of reinvention and the importance of staying, you know, having those guardrails up so that the team doesn't slip into status quo and you personally don't slip into status quo. What happened that became something that you were like, we need to put guardrails up here and make sure that we aren't falling into that?
You know, that's a great question. I live by and try to extend to the team living by this idea that we're going to challenge and change our best every day. That what we do is so public in how it gets executed. And in today's world, things are so public that it's easy to copy the best. It's easy to see what they are doing and improve upon what they're doing. So if you as the best, if you want to be the leader of your segment, if you want to have the success that comes along with that, you have to understand that you have to challenge and change your best every day. And if you don't do that, I believe you don't belong on the playing field. You don't deserve to compete if you're just going to be the group that's average, that's the status quo. You know, status quo was created because that really is below average. So everybody who's at the status quo, if you're just going along, you are below average. And to me, you know, you're wasting resources. If you're not out there pushing the boundaries every day, you're wasting human resources, financial resources, you're wasting time. And in the end, it's just not any fun to be, you know, in the pack. If you can't run, or if you're not challenging to run for the win, I just don't want to play.
You know, it strikes me that there have been times, I know, in our organizational history and in my own leadership, that you didn't even realize that what originally was putting your best forward every day, other people had started to do that same thing. And maybe your best didn't seem like the best anymore. Or maybe you were focused on other things and something started to slip. And those are the moments that I think sometimes that being uncomfortable or feeling a little bit threatened can make you think to yourself, like, am I truly putting the best foot forward or do we need to reinvent something?
Yeah. And you have to be conscious about it. You know, it's like those of us in the Midwest all have basements. And, you know, in your basement, you had your house long enough, you're going to end up with the old beat up couch in your basement. And we've all got it. And it's old and it smells and it's had drinks poured on it and sticky hands on it and kittens given birth on it. But you quit noticing it. You don't even notice that old couch there. You just remember how awesome and the good times you had in your basement with your family. And until a visitor comes over and goes, what's that smell? You realize that you've let that decay enter your home. We do that in our own leadership, in our organizations. We remember that, you know, our pie won the county fair, but, you know, they made you give the recipe up when you won. And so everybody has the recipe for your success, and they're all doing it better than you now. So if you're not out there, not only willing to change, but if you're not constantly mining for change, and not just your own industry, too many people make a mistake of being experts in their own industry and thinking their industry is in a vacuum. Well, your customers have a wide spectrum of experiences. So if you're in the restaurant business and your customer service isn't as good as Chick-fil-A's, then you're second place. And if I'm looking for something easy where I'm going to be treated with respect, I'm going to go to Chick-fil-A, not your place. Because, frankly, I have no idea what a sandwich costs at Chick-fil-A, and I'm there all the time. I go there because it's a good product, and I'm treated with respect. And so that's what we have to do in our businesses, is understand that now our organizational standard for excellence has to be at or above Chick-fil-A's, or our customers are going to go, I don't feel as good as I felt buying, a $6 sandwich or whatever it costs. So this is really something that can be exhausting if you think it is a have to, but if you think it is a get to. I get to explore, see the best, and improve upon it, then it's an exhilarating process.
I like that, the way that you put that, mining for, you know, new opportunities and new ideas and new ways of doing business. And it just prompts me to think about all of the ways that people can look around and start to think about what can kickstart that reinvention. And sometimes we are looking for it, and sometimes it just happenstance. We feel really good customer service, or we see something on social media that we think could apply to what we're doing. And sometimes it is much more of a conscious, like, I'm feeling uncomfortable and I need to explore why, or we're losing a little bit of business and we need to explore why, or our customer satisfaction is going down and we need to explore why. But what are some of the ways that you feel like, for the listening audience, what are some of the things that you utilize when you're looking for ways to kind of kickstart that reinvention? What are kind of your practices? What are some of the things that you do, or kind of the reminders that you put out for yourself and the team to make sure that that reinvention is consistently on top of mind?
Yeah. So we all grew up with the food pyramid and what a balanced diet looked like. And that is a fine thing if you want to maintain where you're at. But if you want to bulk up for a race, if you're a long distance runner, you know that you've got to put lots of carbs in your body so that your body can burn those, and it's a specialized process. And you're not going to do that every day for your whole life because it's not healthy. But for that time, you've got to do that. So if you want to jumpstart your leadership, your creative process, you've also got to immerse yourself in those different ways of absorbing. And so, you know, one of the things we've talked about, I think, on this podcast before is, you know, I just happened to this weekend I was in New York on business, and I went into a very large, famous bookstore. It's got an unbelievable magazine section, and I probably bought 25 magazines that I have never read before, or that I haven't read in a long time, that have nothing to do with our business. And because I want to see what they're talking about, I want to see what the ads look like in there, I want to see what the trends they are. What are the things that their thought leaders are? Because the people we're doing business with are reading those magazines. So I want to understand that. You know, you and I are both big podcast people. And so I listen to a lot of podcasts that don't have anything to do with business or business at all. And Brian Koppelman, who's the showrunner, the show Billions, Brian's got a great podcast, but it's the vast majority of it is about creative process around writing, the entertainment business. I get incredible insight from them on that podcast, but I also follow, you know, Kerry Newhoff, who is a mega pastor from Canada, who does a lot of work on church leadership and growing and dynamic churches. Now, we're not in the church business, but we're in the people and the human condition business. And I can learn incredible things from him about high growth organizations that are serving people, that people are serving in response to that. So it's about finding places to get out of your comfort zone and doing it with a pen and paper in your hand, taking notes on that, saying, all right, here's a great idea. How do I apply that to us? But it's also, frankly, going and seeing your competition and understanding what they're doing better. Now, in some industries, it's collegial and people invite you in, and others, it's, you know, very private. But in today's world of social media and all the data that's out there, you can clearly understand your industry's trends and the people who are leading those trends without a ton of work. But if you're not doing that, again, get off the field, give up the bat. You know, you don't have any right to take up that space.
I think that those are really great examples of how you can find that reinvention or kind of churn that curiosity for things that can guard against that status quo when we think about products and services and customer service. And I'm going to ask us to go one level deeper and think about when you need to personally reinvent your own leadership, which is harder to go out and, you know, read in a magazine or find those things. It's usually something that you have to spend a little bit of time being really honest with yourself. And you have to recognize your own strengths and weaknesses. Can you give the listening audience either an example of a time when you really felt like you personally needed to kind of reinvent your own leadership or up the ante in a certain area, or how you reflect in order to kind of cultivate those times and to do those pulse checks with yourself?
Yes, so that is important. And it's something that I see more and more being a critical issue in leadership. You know, we call it the Olivia Pope question. If you watch the TV show Scandal, Olivia Pope was the main character. And at the beginning of all the early episodes, she always asked her clients, what do you want? What do you want? And nobody could ever answer it. And I think that's the biggest problem when I see leaders talking about burning out, when I see them make really dumb decisions in their personal life that, you know, is a moral or financial failure. Mostly it's leaders who didn't know what they wanted. So if you don't know what you want, you'll never be happy. You can have a sugar high, just like, you know, when you eat a great cookie, you get a sugar high, you get a ping and thought, oh, that's nice. But then you drop off and think, why did I do that to myself? Not knowing what you want in your own leadership in your life is the same process, only the results can be much more damaging than just 15 minutes of the doldrums. So I think you have to write it down. You know, my tradition is I still write in journals. So everything throughout my day, I'm writing in it. I've made multiple notes since we've been sitting here. But on page 5 of this latest one I have, which, you know, it was a week or so old now, I wrote, what do you want? And I've listed 6 things that I want because I want to be intentional about that. And I go back and reflect, and those things change. Sometimes they change because I achieved the thing. And sometimes they change because as I realized along the process, oh, I don't want that. I have a clearer vision of what I want, but I have a clear direction that I'm going in. Because frankly, if I don't, it's a bit like, you started with riverbanks. It's a bit like a river that doesn't have riverbanks. It turns into a swamp. It's lethargic. It grows things that aren't supposed to grow there. The water's too warm and it kills the fish. My leadership becomes like that swamp. But if I have riverbanks, if I have goals that I know I'm staying within these processes, I can go faster and faster. And we all know that rivers, if you go fast enough, you put enough tension on them, stick a dam at the end, you can power entire cities from the energy created by those riverbanks and that dam. And I think that's what we all kind of want for ourselves. But defining in advance what that is the key to the ultimate success and rewards that you have at the end.
What strikes me about that, Ron, is that it takes time to spend with yourself and for you to journal and for you to, you know, really have that practice. And I hear so many leaders, regardless of what industry they're in, what age they are, what level of leadership they are sitting in terms of their title, that are just feeling this pressure for time. And what I often hear them saying is, I don't have time to do that. and I'm so busy each day returning emails and responding to the needs of my clients and my team. And then I get home and I have the demands of home and family and a house to keep up and all of these other things that I hear over and over again. This, I hate to say the word excuse because it is valid. It really is real, the world that we're living in and that pressure for time. But what do you have to say for the people who may be feeling that pressure? How can you encourage them?
It's real. It is. And I can write it from my own perspective. I share it in the new book where a time, 8 or 10 years ago now, where I was at that point and I was angry and frustrated and I didn't know what to do. And the more I felt that way, the more isolated I became and the more angry I became. And not angry, you know, I'm going to go, you know, beat people up angry, but angry in that I felt attacked. I felt like, well, don't these people know how hard I'm working and how can you ask more from me? And it got really tough. And I share it in the book that how I kind of popped out of that, but it forced me to take the time to define what I wanted, what I'm going to do, and about that and move towards that. And I'm kind of at that point right now, not the stressed out point or, you know, you burned out, but, you know, with the new book done and with your leadership and with the leadership of our team and things are going in some really cool directions, kind of redefining what my role is in that. So I'll share what I wrote here, you know, that what I want to do next is have a national presence on impact and influence. You know, I want to make sure that I'm bringing the best ideas to myself and understanding what those are, which means I've got to go explore those ideas. I can't do that sitting in my own office. I want to work on really big things that are 10-year things, not last week things. Not that next week things aren't important, but I have people who are amazing at those. I don't need to be in their business doing that. I want forward momentum. You know, too many leaders are stuck in a cul-de-sac. And I've been there. And some days it's great to just drive around and imagine yourself, you're in the most beautiful neighborhood you can imagine. Lawns are gloriously green and they're well-mowed and the landscaping's beautiful and the asphalt's black for the street and the cul-de-sac. And you're riding around this great big wide cul-de-sac. You're putting lots of miles on your car. You're listening to your favorite audiobook. Maybe it's the Always Forward Leadership Podcast or Uniquely You. And you realize, though, at the end of the day, you put lots of miles on your car. It was a beautiful surrounding, but you didn't get anywhere. And I don't want to do that because we're at that point now that I could do that some. I could kind of cruise because the economy's strong, businesses are growing, our business is thriving, and I don't want to do that. That, to me, is one of the scariest nightmares there is. And then I want to make sure that I'm taking care of my family and meeting the kind of changing times we're in right now and having fun together. And so I know that those are the things I want to do. Now I got to put a plan together to achieve those things. But if I don't take the time to do that, a year from now, I'm going to be a year older and I'm not going to be as happy and I'm not going to have as much ability to impact those things in my lives. So the best thing I can do, and for us, I have to wait till July, after July 4th to work on this because we are swamped until that point. But then I've got time blocked and I'm going to work on that and build it through because it's a lot like the story of the guy who's sawing wood and guy walks by and says, you know, if you sharpen your saw, you could saw a lot more wood a lot faster. And the guy says, well, I don't have time to stop and sharpen my saw. Can't you see I'm trying to cut wood? Huh? That's who we are with our own leadership. And we think that's noble. Well, that's not noble. It's silly. Stop. Sharpen your saw. You're better for your work. You're better for your family. You're better for yourselves. You're better for the community, however you define that.
I know we're running out of time. So just in the interest of wrapping up, Ron, I just want to reinforce the point that you made about taking that time to do that. And I think when we say that to leaders, they often think they need to block out an hour. And we're talking about 2 to 3 minutes a couple of times a week to just think about what do I want? What did I want? Have I thought about that recently? And you can build from there. So it's much like starting an exercise routine. You don't go and get on a spin bike and do 60 minutes with everyone else 5 days a week at the level in which everyone else has been doing for months and not feel a little pain. So give yourself a gentle entry point and maybe start small and try to think about, can I create the habit of checking in with myself on my what do I want goals once a week for 5 minutes? And then go from there, build from there. But it doesn't have to be blocking hours of time off. It can be a conversation with yourself on the drive into work.
You don't have to go to a monastery and spend 3 weeks in contemplation to figure things out. Now, we all kind of wish we could do that. Now, my monastery would also have a 4-star chef and maybe afternoon massages. But you really just have to say, I'm going to be selfish. But that isn't the right word, because self-care is never selfish, but I'm going to be self-committed to understand that a car without gasoline cannot run. A car without fuel cannot run. So how do I put the fuel in my car, in my leadership? And that's by knowing the map, where you're going to go, and what it's going to take for you to get there.
Well, thank you, Ron, for a great conversation about the importance of reinventing yourself and your leadership. I look forward to next week's conversation on the Always Forward Leadership Podcast.
See you next week.
Thanks for joining us. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him at Ron Kitchens or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. If you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you, grow our impact, and keep moving always forward.